We will continue in the book of Hebrews. You know, as Christians, we are adopted into God's family at salvation. But we still make choices. And last week I talked about the choice between two kingdoms. You're either going to choose the kingdom of this world, or you're going to choose to serve God's kingdom. I mean, it's one or the other. Even though we're saved, we still have to make those choices every day, who we're going to serve and or what we're going to do as well. If we want to make the choice to live out God's kingdom in our life, what does that look like? I mean, how does that play out? And that's really what chapter 13 is about. I call it, today it's Kingdom Living Part 1, and basically this is the last chapter in Hebrews, and it's been a journey. I think we're hitting around 13 months, something like that, in Hebrews. And it's all built up to this point. Yeah, at the beginning, he's talking about the supremacy of Christ and how Christ is a better sacrifice, it's a better way, it's better all the way, which is why this says Jesus is better. That's really the theme of Hebrews. And he's writing to the Hebrew Christians, those that were Jews, and they accepted Christ as their Savior, and now they're kind of wavering. They were brought up under the law. They were brought up in the Old Testament. And here's Jesus has brought a New Testament. And they're having a hard time. I mean, they accepted Christ as their Savior, but they're kind of being pulled back into the old. And so the writer here is saying, Jesus is so much better than the law. So much better than the rules and regulations. There's freedom in Christ. And that's what he was talking about. And then in chapter 12, he says, hey, look, all these things in the past have witnessed to us what we get to live now, which is as Christians. Jesus Christ has come. We're no longer under the law. And we have a new life, a whole new relationship with God based on grace instead of works, instead of trying to obey the law. And he goes through all these things, and then basically, like I said last week, you're presented with two choices, serving this kingdom or serving God's. And that's the choice we have to make as Christians every day, because we still have free will. We can still pick and choose. And now he says, let brotherly love continue. So you want to know what things look like as a Christian, how we should live, and that's why I have it called kingdom living. If we're going to choose that kingdom, God's kingdom, what is this going to look like? And so let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality. For by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. And that's just the first part of this chapter. And we're going to look at this. And it's Kingdom Living Part 1. And Kingdom Living, the first three verses is Kingdom Living as it applies to others. As it applies to others. How do we relate with other people? That's what this is talking about. And the first one, it says, let brotherly love continue. So we're talking about the saints, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are to love them. Brotherly love. And brotherly love does three things. Okay, the love that we have for one another witnesses three things. First of all, it's a witness to the world. It's a witness to the world. Look what the Bible says. By this is Jesus speaking. He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. By what? If you love one another. If you love one another. Everyone will know. Other Christians will know, but you know what? People that aren't Christians will know. It is a witness to the world who we are when we love one another. It hurts the cause of Christ if there is no love in the body of Christ. There's got to be love. And you know, nothing bothers me more than when the world witnesses Christians in division, fighting among one another, throwing stones at one another in a sense, disagreeing over petty stuff. That hurts our witness to the world. We need to love one another. Look, we have a common enemy, and that's Satan. It's not us, okay? Our enemy is not each other. Are there some differences? Absolutely there is. But we are not each other's enemy. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're supposed to show brotherly love one to another. And that's our witness to the world. But you know, it's also a witness to ourselves. It is a witness to ourselves when we love one another. Look what the Bible says, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life. You know, you were once dead in your sins. You were on your way to hell. And you accept Christ as your Savior, and you are now given life. You are given life. And then, I don't know about you, but I've questioned that sometimes. Just sometimes I just don't feel saved. You ever been there? You know, you just seems like, there is no God. You know, it seems like I'm by myself. I mean, intellectually, I know I'm a God, but I know there's a God, rather. Not that I'm a God. But I know there's a God. Sheesh. I know I'm not a God. Yeah, took a wrong, big wrong turn. I know there's a God intellectually, but like, you know, I just don't feel. And devil can deceive us in that. He can make our life miserable if we buy into that. Because salvation is not a feeling. Okay? It says we know. It's something you know. You placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you know. But it says, we know that we have passed from death to life. How do we know? I mean, if you ever doubt, how do you know? Because we love our brothers and sisters. You know, people that say, I'm a Christian, but I never go to church because, you know, whatever. I kind of wonder. Now, I'm not going to try and judge their heart. But the Bible says, if you've passed from death to life, you're going to love your brothers and sisters. You're going to care about them. And the one who does not love remains in death. Now, I don't know how much plainer it can be. Some people say, oh, the Bible, I can't understand it. I mean, that's pretty plain. It's pretty plain. But it's a witness to ourselves. It's a proof of salvation. When you care about others, other brothers and sisters, and sometimes it's others you don't even know. You know, you may see a church struggling in another country or, you know, through whatever, and you want to help them. Your love just goes out to them. That's an indicator that you have passed from death to life. And so don't believe the lie when Satan sits there and says, oh, you know, look what you did. You're, you know, whatever. Listen, we all sin. We all fall short. We all make a bad choice from time to time. But if you have that love for one for another in the body of Christ, that's one of the assurances that God gives us of what He has done in us. So we witness to the world. Our love for our brothers and sisters is a witness to ourselves. And our love is also a witness to the Lord. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you demonstrated for His name by what? Serving the saints. Again, serving those that name the name of Christ and continuing to serve them. Do I have concern for my brothers and sisters? Do I enjoy fellowship with my brothers and sisters? Do I minister to my brothers and sisters? And if I do, that's a witness to God. That's a witness to God. And he's not unjust. He notices. You know, sometimes we feel like no one notices. Sometimes we may say, oh, we're doing this or I do that. But nobody ever says anything. Well, take note. God notices. And he's not unjust. You'll get your reward in due time. Sometimes it's not in this life, folks. We need to understand that. We're always part of that attaboy mentality. You know, always got to have the pat on the back. And listen, it is good to encourage one another. We should do that. But sometimes we just have to know that God notices what we're doing. And sometimes that has to be enough. But the saints, kingdom living as it applies to others, starting with the saints, brotherly love, it's a witness to the world, ourselves, and the Lord. But you know what? Kingdom living has to do with how we apply it to the strangers that we may meet. Verse 2 says, don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Now, this is talking about, I think, at least in part, Abraham. Abraham's out there. He's pitched his tent. He's got his servants. He's got his flocks and his herds, and he's a busy guy, and he sees these three men coming up, three men he's never seen before. This is all in Genesis 18. And they come up, and he invites them in and says, let's eat, you know, let me do this for you. You know, he shows them hospitality. Turns out two of them are angels, and one of them's Jesus. One of them's the Lord. And he didn't know who they were until he engaged with them. And it says, don't neglect to show hospitality. Because some people have welcomed angels, and even beyond that, the Lord, and didn't even know it. Didn't even know it. Now, these strangers could be angels or Jesus, or they could be saints. They could just be people that are brothers and sisters that we just don't know them. Strangers could be saints. Look what Jesus said. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. That's hospitality, folks. I was a stranger. There's the word, strangers. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. That's in Matthew. It's hospitality. It could be angels, could be Jesus, could be other saints, or it could be the lost. We're supposed to show hospitality for the lost. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may show yourselves to be sons of your Father in heaven. You see, hospitality is more about looking for an opportunity than it is a duty or exercising a gift. You know, so many people say, well, I don't go there because I don't have the gift of hospitality. And it is a gift that's listed in there, a spiritual gift. But that doesn't mean we should not be hospitable. Just, you know, some people that have that gift, they really know how to do it. You know, they just can lay it out there, make you feel so welcome. Those are the ones that have the gift. But we are all to be hospitable. And it's not a duty. It's an opportunity. You know, we need to start looking at things different when we have a chance to interact with somebody we don't know, we need to understand that could be an opportunity. That God's bringing us an opportunity to share our faith. Or maybe we don't even get to share our faith, but we can show them some love. And that may lead at some point to sharing your faith. Something to think about. So kingdom living as it applies to others. Kingdom living as it applies to the saints, the strangers, and the suffering. Verse 3. Remember the prisoners as though you were in prison with them. I've never been in prison. Praise God. I mean, it's not like I didn't deserve it for some of the things I did, but just never got caught, I guess, back in that day. It says, remember them as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. Have compassion for the prisoners. Those in prison, look what he says, Jesus says, I was naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you took care of me, I was in prison and you visited me. And then once again the righteous say, when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will tell them, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. We're to have compassion. You know, that word compassion, part of the word is passion. And I think in Christianity today we've lost some of our passion. I think sometimes we come to church and serve, sometimes more out of duty or habit. Something to think about. Do we have the passion? And actually, in the tent meeting, Brother Randy's going to be speaking on Wednesday and Thursday, but I'll be speaking on Friday, and I'm going to be talking about passion on Friday. I hope you come. That's the prisoners, but then there's the mistreated. The mistreated. But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and you know, this is the Good Samaritan. Most of us probably know this passage. And when he saw the man, there's that word again, he had compassion. And he went over to him and he bandaged, you know, he didn't know this guy. And it was a Samaritan. One of the despised ones by the Jews. And he went over to him, bandaged his wounds, poured in olive oil and wine, and then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend on this man. And then Jesus said, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers, the one that has been mistreated? And then guy answers and he says, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do the same. Go and do the same. Kingdom living is how we treat people. In part, there's more to it, as you will see next week and the following week, and this is the first part, and it's how we're to look at others, both those that are our brothers and sisters in the Lord and those that are not. How you live your life is dependent on how you view your life. How do you view your life? Have you ever stopped and thought about it? How do you view your life? Or do you just get up every day, do the same old thing, got your routine, so many times we're like kind of on autopilot, you know? It's just, this is what I do, da da da, you know? How do you really view your life? And there's really three lenses through which we view life. Three lenses. One is to escape. Some people look at life as something to escape. Now, you may not use that word, but it may be exactly what you're doing. Ways to escape reality. How do people escape dealing with reality? Drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, materialism, sports, social media, their job, whatever. They become a workaholic. It could be music. It could be anything that piques your interest, something you like. And so the rest of life is just really hard or really not what you wanted it to be or whatever. So you just pour yourself into this and it's just your escape. While I'm here, I don't remember the rest of the stuff I'm dealing with. And some people, it's just that's what it's all about, is I'm just going to pursue this, because as long as I'm involved in this, I don't have to pay attention to that. Now, that doesn't mean some of these things aren't wrong. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a game or playing music or something like that. I mean, but sometimes we make these things our idols. And we're missing the point of what God has for us. And we're viewing life through that lens. And my life is all about this. And it could be something that's wrong, such as drugs or alcohol or promiscuity or things like that. Or it can be something that is in and of itself innocent, but it becomes consuming. And you lose focus on everything else, and that becomes your God. It can be either one. But that is one way people look at life. And like I say, many times they don't label it that, but when you examine it, that's exactly what they're doing. They're escaping. Ways to escape reality. Second way we can look at life is life is something to endure. Life is something to endure. And I think I put on your sheet a cross. People will say that. They'll say, this is my cross to bear. And some people have been, quote unquote, bearing their cross all their life. Bearing their cross all their life. Maybe their health isn't good. Maybe their marriage isn't good. Maybe their children are going crazy. Maybe the job, they're in a dead-end job and they hate their job, but they're just there because that's all they know. And they go, they come home, they're just miserable, and they're like, well, that's my cross to bear. Could be money situations. Those are not your cross. When Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me, he didn't say, your life is your burden. He said your burden was light if you follow him. Your burden's light. The yoke is light. Your cross, to pick up your cross, means to die to yourself. You die to yourself. The cross is a means of execution. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you got to die to yourself. You can't be selfish. You can't always be looking in here. Now, do we need to take care of ourselves? Yes. God knows that. You know, I always love it when you deal with people and they got like the inner lawyer in them. You know, they'll nitpick every point. They'll say, "Well, does that mean I don't work? I don't eat? I don't, you know?" Okay, go overboard if you want. But what it's talking about is submitting yourself to Christ. Pick up your cross and follow Him. Die to yourself. Follow Him. He knows you have needs. That's what the Bible tells us. He says He even knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. How much more does He know about you? He said, you don't have to pray for food and shelter. He knows in clothing. He knows you have needs of these things. He wants you to trust Him. He says, trust in the Lord. Trust Him. Do you really, or do you still manipulate it all? I don't know about you, but I got areas that I trust Him in, and I got other areas that I kind of hold on to. And I don't let Him have free rein. Those are areas I got to work on. Those are areas that need to be addressed. Because I need to die to myself. Sometimes I'm hanging on to something that He doesn't want me to have because it's not good for me. Other things, I've got my hand closed because I'm holding. He can't give me something I really need because my hand is closed. We can look at our life and divide it into the things I like and the things I don't like, and everything in my life that I don't like but I can't do anything about it is my cross to bear. And that is not the way to look at it, folks. Our cross to bear is our own selfish hearts that we needs to die so that we can really live. So we can really live. So you can look at life as something to escape or something to endure, or you can look at life as something to enjoy. Ha! Sounds better, huh? Sounds better. See, there's got to be a happy point to this thing, right? And that's Christ in your life, folks. Because that's where, not happiness, joy. And you know the difference, right? Happiness is based on circumstances. I'm happy if I got money in the bank, food in the refrigerator. I'm happy if everything seems to be going well in my life. But then when things are not going well, which seems to be most of the time, something's not going well, now I'm unhappy. Because happiness is based on circumstances. And I've had people say to me, "God wants me to be happy." Really? Show me the verse. I mean, I'm open to it. I'm really open to that concept, but show me the verse. I've had people say, "Well, God wants me to be happy, so I'm getting rid of that man or that woman. Because God wants me to be happy and I'm not happy." I've had more than one person say that to me. And you know what? If the grass looks greener on the other side, you need to water your grass. You need to water your grass. The answer is not to trade in whatever it is. That's not the answer. Because you know what? That new person has faults too that will get on your nerves just as bad, if not worse. Or that new whatever. I'm not just talking about relationships. It could be anything. Happiness. Oh, if I get a new car, You get a new car, something wrong with that. I mean, I went through a lot of my life repairing things, and I'm like, who's the idiot that designed this? Hope there's no engineers out there. But it's like, why did they put this here? It would have been just as easy to put it here where you could get to it. You ever been there, Eric?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know Eric works on a lot of stuff. You're like, really? You really had to put the screw here? Oh, I need a different job because this job just makes me unhappy. So you quit that job and you go find another job. There's some knucklehead there that's just making your life miserable. I mean, am I lying? That's what I thought. Because y'all been there. You know it's true. That's why you're laughing, because you know it's true. Listen, I am glad there are happy times in life. I mean, listen, I'm not against happiness, believe me. But that's not where I put my eggs, man. I don't put all my eggs in that basket. Because that's not what it's about. It's about joy. The kind of joy that just comes from within. And it's not based on the stuff that's swirling around my head. Or swirling around in my head, for that matter. It's not based on how I'm feeling that day. It's based on where I'm at with God. Because, see, all the thing, I mean, there are some people, I mean, and my heart goes out to them, they have just had a hard time their whole life. And I don't know why that is. I mean, I don't know why it seems like some people just kind of are on cruise control and other people are just battling all the time. I don't get that. But I do know this. If you know the Lord, one day it's all going to be good forever.
Amen.
I do know that. And you got to start looking at life through that lens. Otherwise, you won't have joy. You'll just be beat down by life all the time. And God did not call us to that. Kingdom living is both a deeply spiritual and an intensely practical journey. That is the abundant life that Jesus came to provide for every Christian. It's a spiritual journey, but it's also practical. It's spiritual in that, yes, you know, it works in our spirit and the spirit lives forever. And so, yes, we've got forever ahead of us, and that's a good thing for the Christian. But it's also practical. It's for now. You don't have to be just beaten down while you're here on planet Earth. You can live the abundant life. Jesus said, I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Man, it's about finding out God's plan for you. It's about living out His plan through you. It's what it's about. And when you do that, joy comes. You'll rejoice even in the midst of pain or heartbreak or disaster. There'll be a joy that just comes to the surface. Despite the circumstances. Somebody's hammering the point home. You know, I never plan jokes. I just pick up on stuff. I don't know. That's just the way God made me. I just, you know... Hammer that home too. Yeah, whatever. I hope and pray you would consider what lens you look at life through. Ask God to reveal it to you. Because sometimes we're good at fooling ourselves. And we'll say, oh yeah, I got it all figured out. Well, why don't you just open up and just let God have some time in you? You know, you might say that God's never done anything in your life. I would stop and start thinking about blessings that have come. And just because things aren't working out in one particular area doesn't mean that God isn't blessing you. And you can have great joy in that. I take a lot of solace in knowing that it's all going to be good one day. We can not like how things are going in our health or in our family or in our world, in our government, whatever. Some of that stuff, there's nothing to rejoice about in some of that stuff. But that's not where my faith is. I remember at Sears, they changed the retirement plan so that now basically there is not one. And there was a lot of people that were very upset. And I'm not saying I didn't like it. I mean, I'm not saying I liked what they had to say. But there was people that were super upset and angry. And I mean, and they were pounding the tables. And then after the meeting was over, they were, you know, spouting off their opinions of management and all that stuff. Now, did I like it? No. I mean, when I hired in too, you know, they told us all these great benefits we were going to have, you know, and that's why we hired in, you know, partly. But I was just sitting there, okay. So, you know what though? No matter what they had to say, I still had to get up and get my route together and go out and do my job. And I still had to come home and be with my family and do the things that, you know, none of those things changed. And you know what? I can honestly say that I still had joy. Why? Because I didn't place all my hope and faith in Sears and their retirement plan. I had my hope and faith in the Lord. And I just said, well, you know, God, I know God's going to take care of me. You know, and He does say He's going to do that, right? He's aware of you. He knows your situation. So, I'm going to trust Him. That's where my trust was. I mean, did I like what happened? No. Did it maybe change the way things were going to be in the future? Absolutely, it changed. But my faith is in God and in how He's going to take care of me. Not in what man's thing is going to do or not do, such as the case may be. And so, while I wasn't happy about the announcement, I still had joy. Because I just had to figure, you know what? Okay, so God is not going to use Sears to do this. He's going to use something else. And you just believe it. And you have joy. And you just keep going. I hope that's a real tangible, practical thing for you to kind of grab a hold of and understand, because that's part of the abundant life, is not getting down because of circumstances. It's about remaining on top despite the circumstances. That's abundant life. It's like that saying, you know, might as well laugh because crying don't help. Right? You can cry and moan about it and grumble, and it's still there. Right? So you might as well laugh and move on. Just live your life. And I'll admit, sometimes I am better at being joyful than I am at other times. Sometimes I have grumbled. I mean, I'm not up here painting a picture, you know, that I got this all together and all figured out. But I am saying that truth is truth. And that's kingdom living, folks. It's rising above the world. Like that verse, you know, what can man do to me? You know, when you got God on your side, right? Rough paraphrase. It's in Isaiah, I think, or somewhere. I don't know. It's in the Bible. I wish God would allow me to remember where verses are. I really do. You know, I think he does this just to remind me that I'm nothing. I swear, it's just amazing. I cannot remember numbers and chapters and stuff. Oh, is that it's right here? It's just coming up, isn't it? Yeah, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do? Look, it's on the next page.
Watch out for the snake.
It's on the next page. I knew I read it somewhere.
God is awesome.
Yeah, it was on the next page. What can I say? See how God's got a sense of humor? You all were probably looking right at it. Just my Bible's laid out so that it's on the very top of the next page. He hid it from me. What's that?
Continued next.
Yeah, we will be on that verse next week. And I knew I had read it recently because I'm already reading about, you know, what I'm preaching next week. But that's pretty crazy. I could never remember where, you know, I'll say I did this, but I don't remember where I was when I did it, you know. Same with this. God's funny. Amen. Glad we had a laugh, you know. Even if it was on me. But all that to say, God says, Jesus said, he came that we would have life and have it in abundance. You know, I hope, if you don't have the abundant life and you're a Christian, it's your fault. Because he came and gave it. You're just not picking it up and taking it. We got to take responsibility, folks. He has given us what we need. We have his Holy Spirit. We have his word. You either apply it to your life or you don't. So let's live life abundantly. Let's choose kingdom living to the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now, time for the invitation. Are you in the kingdom? You know, I could preach a whole message about kingdom living. If you're not in the kingdom, you can't do kingdom living if you're not in. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted in him for your future rather than the government or the programs or whatever's out there? Have you trusted the living God for your eternity? Are you in the kingdom? You can't do kingdom living if you're not in the kingdom. You can't have the true joy or the peace that passes understanding. You know, it's crazy. I went to the hospital yesterday and talked to Stella. Met her over there. She was there and I went over. And you know, she's upset. She's a little scared. I hope you pray for her. You know, her eyes were kind of glossy. You know, she's kind of holding back some tears. I mean, there's some serious doubts, you know, how much time Gary has now. I mean, that's just real. Okay. But you know what? She was, She was happy. I mean, she was, you know, not, she was joyful. And we talked, and we had a really nice time sitting there and just talking. And in the midst of a very tough time for her. And, you know, we're praying that he has more time. But at the same time, she's ready. You know, if this is God calling him home, then she's ready. And that's something only God can do. And you either have that Holy Spirit within you that can give you that kind of strength in those kind of situations, or you don't. And if you don't, then it's in your strength. And that's why you see people fall apart sometimes. When tough things happen, they fall apart. They don't have strength from God. And you may be one of those people. For the rest of us, we need to think about how are we with others. Now, most of us are pretty good with one another. But how are you with strangers? How are you with people that persecute you? How are you with people that are suffering? For a lot of us, what's our view of life? Has God revealed that we are trying to escape? Or are we looking at life as something to endure? Or are we really enjoying life, the abundant life that God had? Those are questions we need to ponder, you know. And I don't know about you, but I've found that there's areas of my life that I really enjoy, and then there's others that are really seem to be not so good. But we need to have joy, period. Otherwise, we're not any different than anyone else. We got nothing that they have if we don't have the joy. And we don't have that peace in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the adversity. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed, is there anybody here today? Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Mike, I have never trusted in Jesus Christ. I can't live kingdom living because I'm not part of the kingdom, and God has showed me that today. Anybody like that? I just want to see your hand. If you slip your hand up, I want to pray for you. Because it is the most important decision a person can ever make in their life. Because that decision determines your eternity. Your eternity. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I do pretty good with my friends that are brothers and sisters, but when it comes to strangers, I kind of struggle a little bit. Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. I struggle a little bit with strangers. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I know it can be uncomfortable. Thank you. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I have a hard time dealing with those that are suffering. Going into a place where I know there's some people, man, they just hate hospitals, or they, you know, dealing with those kind of situations. Anybody like that? You know, I need some prayer. I need to have a little more help in that area. Anybody like that? God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I've kind of been looking at life the wrong way. Life has been something to endure, and I need some help in that. Anybody like that? I need some help in that area. God bless you. Quite a few hands there. And I understand there's some situations in this room. I understand that. I know how you can get there. How many would say, Brother Mike, I kind of view life as something I need to get away from. I bury myself in something so I don't have to deal with other things. Anybody like that? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I have some of the abundant life, but there could be so much more if I just make a few decisions. Anybody like that? Life could be so much more abundant for me. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I lift up those of us, Lord, that we need to grow in our kingdom living. Lord God, I pray through your Spirit, through your Word, through the opportunities that you present us, Lord, help us. Help us to seize the opportunity to live the abundant life. Help us, Lord, to be more hospitable in the areas that you bring us to, Lord, the people that we meet, knowing that they are all created in your image and that you sent your Son to die for all of us, every person. May we be more compassionate in this way. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. As the music is on, you deal with God. If you need to come forward and pray, I will pray with you. If you want to make a decision, I will pray with you. This is your time. Redeem your time wisely. Father, Lord God, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunities that you give us to show your love to a lost and dying world. Father, as we prepare for this week and all that's ahead this week, I pray, Lord, you'd use us, teach us, lift us up. May you become more real and alive in our lives each and every day, Lord. That your kingdom would grow. That Jesus would be lifted up. That you would be glorified. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.